Dear friends, once more seeking the help and the aid of Almighty God for this afternoon, I ask you please to turn to the same word that was brought before you this morning in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We'll read verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So just read those two verses that come before, verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, you just sung in that third verse, he came to save the lost. That is the theme of this word, the theme of the love of Jesus Christ to undeserving sinners. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, you'll be aware of that brazen serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness for all those that were bitten, all those that were stung by those fiery serpents that were sent to bite them. And those fiery serpents, they bit them, and they had in them that venom that would kill them unless there was a remedy for them. What a great example this is, that as Moses lifted up the serpent, he raised up that serpent upon a pole, that brazen serpent that was lifted high, that all that looked live. And in Isaiah chapter 44 and the verse 22, look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Dear friends, there is that looking alone unto Jesus as that serpent was there. That was the remedy that was placed high upon a pole, that all who looked unto that serpent lived. But those that did not look up unto that serpent perished. We have in these verses, oh, I do so trust and plead that the Lord will use them here for the good of every soul. Friends, we've each got a soul. And unless we look unto the Lord Jesus Christ in our sin, we will perish. Friends, the word of God is very clear. It often can be said, well, I don't understand the Bible. I do not understand much of that which is in it. Friends, we have to seek that the Lord would open our eyes and our ears to behold the things in the Word of God, to hear the truths that are in the Word of God. For we are exactly like the people that are out there in the wilderness. We are each born with the venom of sin in our veins, and we're full of it. We're full of sin. We cannot try and make ourselves any better or any different from any man, woman and child out there in the world. Because every single one of us are born as a sinner. We cannot say, well, we're a little sinner. We cannot say, well, we haven't done a lot of things that other people have not done. We cannot try and make ourselves something that we are not. Because friends, whether we call ourselves a little sinner, a medium sinner, the fact is, dear friends, that a sinner is a sinner, whether great or small, in the sight of a just and holy God. And a sinner that dies in their sin will perish to all eternity. How clear is the word of God. Oh, that we may have our ears opened, each one of us this afternoon. That as it were, these things are not spoken and then just pass through one ear and out the other and totally and completely forgotten. Or totally and completely ignored. It's possible to do that. For if I'm honest, I spent many years sat in Rotherfield Chapel. The word of truth was being proclaimed. But I didn't want to hear it. I wanted another life. Friends, we cannot go into that. But just safe to say that it is possible to sit in the house of God and completely switch off and our minds be miles away. I'm sure that I am not alone in saying these things. We have to be honest before God, friends. We cannot make ourselves something that we are not. We have this great, this wonderful privilege that we are able. We have been bought this afternoon. Perhaps you've been brought week by week since we were tiny into the house of God. Is there a testimony, dear friends? Or are we those who have come in and gone out, as it's been said probably many times, like the door on its hinges, just goes to and fro, and there's been no honour, no praise, no testimony to the Lord's mercy, to your never dying soul. The day of each of our departure is at hand. Where, oh where, will your eternal destination be? And we cannot put off that day 1 second longer. We cannot make our lives longer. We cannot get down to the gates of death and then make a decision that will be better. We will change. We will hear. We will listen. There is that time that has been appointed for everyone's birth in this chapel. And there is another appointment that is nigh at hand. Even if it be 50, 60, 70, 80 years, 90 years. For us yet to be living upon this earth, those years are nothing compared to the years of eternity, because there are no years in eternity. It is ever, ever, ever eternity. Eternal life or eternal death. Perhaps you may even be thinking, well, this is a bit morbid for a Christmas time. may think, I don't want to hear this. Beloved friend, it's God's word. God brings his word. God sends this poor man with his word. And friends, we can only declare before you that which the Lord would have me speak. It is not my word, it's not my thoughts. This is God's word. And oh, how thankful we are that we do not choose the text or the subject upon which we speak from. It is alone of the Lord. How then have you come into the house of God this afternoon? Perhaps you were here this morning. You've come again this afternoon. What have been the thoughts of your hearts since then? Since we left the house of God and we have come again. For God so loved the world. Dear soul, do you know anything of the love of Jesus Christ? This great love that God sent his only begotten Son. We read it to that scene in the first chapter of Matthew as it opens up there. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is what we come to proclaim and to celebrate at this Christmas time. This is what Christmas is. It is to remember Christ's birth. That God so, out of love, that great love, sent his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ, his dear Son, came in willingness and complete and total obedience at the word of his Father. He came with that ultimate end that he used to give his life for his friends. Those precious words, John 15. Just look at them. 15th chapter of John and verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is love, complete love, full love, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. And then there is a great if in the midst of this verse. If ye do whatsoever I command you. The love of Jesus Christ to a sin-sick soul. That love alone that can heal the vilest, wickedest sin. The most terrible sin, the most heinous sin that you can think of. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Was ever love like this? That the Son of God should leave the glory of heaven, come down to Bethlehem, have his birth in that cattle shed, the most humble of places. Friends, he should have been the greatest of places. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the King of Glory left heaven and came to earth. And yet there he was placed, in that most humble of places. God's Son. God is love. Greater love hath no man than this. Was ever love like this, beloved friends? Never, and never can be, that this dear man, the Son of God, the Redeemer, he was to come and buy back his people. He was to purchase them with his precious blood. What a purchase. What a price. His own heart's blood, soul. Oh, that we could but be touched with the tremendous wonder, the tremendous love in this gift of God. This unspeakable gift that a man the Son of God, King Jesus, came to earth to die, to suffer, and to bleed, and to give his life a ransom for many. He paid the cost that was demanded. His own heart, his own life. He sought his Father, didn't he, in that prayer? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Love to his Father. What he was to pass through, no tongue can tell. To save our souls from death and hell. We not say, hallelujah, what a saviour. Oh, there'll be that hallelujah that a centre in your heart, dear friend. All praise and honour and glory to our God, to our dear Redeemer, our Saviour, our friend, who opened the channel of mercy for me. We deserve not the least of God's mercy. We deserve the least of God's love. If we know and see ourselves in the light of the love of Jesus Christ, how vile, how wretched, how base we are. And yet this free love, this wondrous love of Christ to sinners. There is no blessed word, no blessed theme, no blessed subject in the word of God than the love of God. Friends, we deserve nothing more than the vengeance and full wrath of God upon us. We've broken his commandments. And if we haven't broken them actually, we've broken them in our hearts. Unseen, aren't they? We may have longed to do this, that or the other. You may well say, well, I haven't openly sinned like others have. We don't need to name them. But what about your heart? Do you now before God, come into his house. You've come with that specific and rightful purpose to worship the living God. Oh, I hope there's none that have come just out of habit and formality and tradition this afternoon. Just come because the service is on to appease others. Make ourselves right in our conscience that we've just done what we should do. But is there that living desire in your soul to know my Jesus crucified? By far excels all things beside. Oh, the biggest and the best things that money could buy. They're all rotting. They're all rusting. They're all fading. They're all failing. And we'll do at that great day when Jesus shall return to this earth. Whatever we may have and can claim to have upon this earth. Friends, is your greater love, your greater desire to know my Jesus as your personal saviour? Friends, we cannot have another's religion. Cannot have, as it were, another's walk. Cannot have another's testimony. Shall I among that great throng be found? When thou for me shalt call? And it will come, the day will come, when we shall be no more, and we shall be gone, we shall be taken. And like many of us, had those that are near and dear to us taken. Those whom we have dearly loved. But it'll be our name one day. It'll be you and I. One thing is for sure, one of us in this chapel this afternoon will be the next. Are we ready to stand before God? Do we know this dear Jesus? Do we know the love of Christ in our souls? Have we known anything of this great love, the Son of God, who came from glory to this earth? You might say, well, you've no idea of my pathway. You've no idea what I have to deal with in my life. You've no idea what daily comes and daily goes. No, friends, I do not. But God knows every single need of every one of us in health, in life, whatever it may be, God alone knows. He knows your thoughts afar off, knows your desires, your passions. You may have a great long list of things that you want to accomplish in your life, those things that you want to tick off while you're here upon this earth. Things become so more important to you than your never dying soul. My dear friends, oh, that the Lord might appear unto you this afternoon, that he may speak with power. We know not what a day may bring forth. We know not what may be before us in this coming week. We plan. Sometimes we rightly, of course, have to plan. Friends, do we do it in the fear of God, or is it our wants? Are they our sinful lusts and desires, with no thought or concern to us, our never-dying soul, or to others? Friends, oh, may God, in his almighty power and love, come, just like he did to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. There he was. He was going off to do that which was his desire, that which he thought. But God stopped him and brought him right down to the dusty road. He humbled him. And friends, what a mercy. What a wonder if the Lord God does that to you and to I, to bring us to see our weakness. We can have these feelings of grandeur that we're going to do this, that and the other. We might already think we have this status. But if we're a child of God, God will show you. God will reveal to you who you are and how little we really are in his most holy sight. But friends, what a greater favour, what a greater blessing we could have than for the Lord to change our life. If we are on the broad road to hell, on the broad road to destruction, did he change us? The prodigal son, he went off, he was living a life of riotous living. He spent all the money he had, and he came to a time of famine. What a blessing that he came to a time of famine, friends. His money ran out all the time. He had money, he had friends. All the time he had money, he had food, and he had whatever he wanted. Until, and friends, there is an until in the life of every child of God. Until. Oh, may this afternoon be an until this very moment of time, how the Lord changed him and turned his back upon his sin. When his money ran out, those around him, they didn't want to know him. The swine he was feeding had the husks to eat. They'd got more than he had. He was in his rags. He was in his filth. He must have smelt awful. And that, dear friends, is a picture of a sinner this afternoon. In our rags. In our filth. In our wretchedness. But that is how we have to come before the living God. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And what was the reception of the dear Father? Was there a rod waiting? Was there those angry, bitter words for wasting all his money and for doing all that he had done? No. Love was what he received. Pity, compassion, shoes upon his feet, a ring on his finger, a robe about him. The fatted calves to be called and killed. Eat, drink and be merry. This my son was dead and now he's alive. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners. We've known it and we've felt a little of it. Friends, there's nothing else in this life that can compare with the touch of that love. To see Jesus in our room, in our place, in our stead, suffering, dying, hanging, bleeding, he'd been mocked, been scourged. That was the penalty Christ paid, dear friends. He suffered at the hands of wicked and cruel men. They smote him, they mocked him. This, my dear friends, is the saviour of sinners. He gave his life as a ransom for many. He gave his life that dead, filthy, vile, wretched sinners like you and I in here this afternoon might live. He died that we may live. What a paradox. The average man in the street wouldn't know what you were talking about. Christ died that you might live. Yes, friends. Jesus, the friend of sinners, died. He suffered. He suffered so great. He suffered so deep. And there is life in his death. Life in his sufferings. He came to seek and to save the lost. Yes, the lost like that prodigal. And there are many prodigals out in the world. Many who have gone. Oh, that the prodigals might be caused to return. But friends, what do we have in the word of God that we should greet them with? Love. Not a beating. Not bitter words. Not anger. Love. Jesus came in love to his Father. He knew that which he would have to bear in his own holy body upon the cross. That cruel Roman scourge that he was lashed with in his back. He died to set the captives free. Captives of what? Captives of Satan. In those chains that Satan ties them down with. He came to save. He came to redeem. But there was a cost. The word of God we have. Ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. And the price, the very blood of Jesus. that soul-cleansing blood that cleanseth us from all sin, every sin. Greater love, dear friends, hath no man than this. How faithful is the loving Lord to you and to I. If you consider how many times you may have persistently sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned, day after day, month after month, year after year. Friend, how amazing, how wondrous is the love of God to guilty, persistent sinners. And yet has he cut you off? We are still on praying ground this afternoon. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Friend, there's abundant pardon. And friends, if you know your own hearts and your own life, oh, we need abundant pardon. But there is forgiveness with them. Forgiveness. To forgive of every sin, every coming sinner who comes unto Jesus seeking mercy will never be turned back, will never be turned away, will never be those who are forsaken, because his love is so great. His love is so vast. There's no bottom to Christ's love. There's no edge to it. There's no top to it. It's so free, so vast. Oh, that we could know and love him more. That lovely hymn, 667. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. To record, to speak of his love. How backward we are, dear friends. How woefully backward we are. I don't mean in an outward, proud and arrogant way. Absolutely not. But to humbly speak of what the Lord has done. We're quite apt to speak of absolutely everything else in our lives. What we've done, where we've been, what we've got, and so on and so on. Everything we've done in the past week. But what room is there for Christ in your conversation? What room is there for God in your life? He who has done such great things for you, whereof you have been glad. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. His beauty's trace, his majesty adore. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and there, friends, bears out that which is in the revelation, that in glory there will be those from every kindred, tribe and tongue to make up that great throng whom no man can number, that great eternal throng. Those made up from every part of this earth. Those made up from perhaps every land and outlying place. We marvel. I'll just mention it as we pass it. But our dear brother James and Sam out in Kenya have gone out into those places where no man's ever been before. They've gone into these camps. Where are these tribal people? No man's ever spoken to them. And they were brought by the almighty power of God to their service. They'd never been out amongst other people before. Totally enclosed. And yet God has given those two dear brethren such great courage, such great love to his word, to take it out into these outlying, out-the-way places, many, many thousands of miles from here, but there to be used in the service of the living God to proclaim his word. How wondrous are God's works and ways. Yes, we miss them so greatly here. Truly we do. But look what the Lord has given those to whom, just turn back now, but in John 15, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And dear brother James, a man of faith, he went at the obedience of his God. Could say much more, but now the time has gone concerning that. But may it be a lesson to us each. May it be something in our present day. We can see the Lord is at work. The Lord uses those that love him. The Lord uses those that fear his great and glorious name. Ashamed of Jesus. That, dear friend, are we ashamed this afternoon to name the name of Jesus? He who's done so much for us. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, the friend of sinners, on whom our hopes of heaven depend, our hopes of heaven's glory depend completely and totally and absolutely and utterly upon the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, in the love that brought into earth to save his people from their sins, sins that were not his own, sins that he had never committed, thoughts that he had never thought. He paid that price. He paid that penalty in suffering, in dying, that one day the redeemed church of the living God will be found with him in glory, to be found with him in joys beyond the skies, to make up that great throng whom no man can number, made of every kindred, tribe and tongue, those whom he has set his love upon, those who have had that trust alone in him, in their bleeding Saviour, who has done all things well. Yes, my dear friends, we will know a path of tribulation as the people of God, for it is through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. And yes, friends, unless, except ye become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. They're things that the natural flesh and man do not like. Don't like being brought down to be little, feeling little in front of others and amongst others. Except ye become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he will exalt you. Friends, we brought this word this day, and we know that it is only the sovereign power of Almighty God, through the work and the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that can reveal these things. Oh, may God be pleased to own and bless his word, and that our poor labours are not in vain in the Lord, that there may be those blessings, favours, richly found amongst you, that are of the Lord. He alone it is that doth go before his people, and will take us down to our journey's end and land us safe above, a long eternity to spend in singing God is love. I give all the glory, all the honour to my God. I cannot disclose why, but friends, that you are just to know this, yesterday, naturally speaking, it was impossible for me to come. And the Lord has raised me up. And may the Lord bless each of your souls through his word today. Amen.